Alza tu voz.
Speak Out, programa donde los jóvenes tenemos voz, con información y música.
Your youth radio program on the Central Coast.
Alza tu voz, Speak Out.
Hablamos y opinamos sobre temas que nos importan.
Conversations on interesting issues.
Alza tu voz.
Speak Out.
With music and information from a youth perspective on what's happening in our community,
resources, and events.
Nuestro objetivo es compartir información de los recursos
y actividades culturales de nuestra comunidad.
Alza tu voz.
Speak Out.
Salinas Youth Radio Program, produced with the support from the David and Lucille Packard Foundation.
Aunque sabemos que el racismo no es algo que experimentamos y vivimos solos en estos tiempos, es una realidad que existe todos los días, desafortunadamente, más visto en personas de color. A raíz de algunos actos de racismo durante un juego de fútbol americano en el distrito escolar de preparatorias de la ciudad de Salinas, hoy en el programa tendremos este diálogo sobre el racismo para poder procesar la situación, controlar nuestros sentimientos y expresar nuestros miedos o preocupaciones. El tema sí puede ser muy difícil, más sin embargo es un tema que debe ser continuado con nuestras familias y compañeros y compañeras de escuela.
Yo soy Brianna y junto con
Miranda Ancheta,
Isa Vargas,
Kim Hernandez,
seremos los conductores de hoy. En la parte técnica está Mirna y en música Alamari, Vianey y José.
Talking about racism can be difficult to talk about. Nevertheless, we feel it's necessary to help process the situation, have control of our emotions, and express our fear of worries. We know that racism exists on our everyday life and dialogue must continue every time we feel it necessary. As most of you already know, there was an act of racism during a Salinas High football game, which led to questioning the district to who they are dealing with racism at school and how to protect us from such acts of racism. As always, our listeners are invited to join the conversation on this difficult but very much needed dialogue on racism. Sorry.
My name is Guillermo, and along with
Isa Vargas,
Miranda Ancheta,
Brianna De Leon,
we will be the host for today. In sound, we have
Mirna.
Yes, of course. And in music,
José, Vianney, and me, and Alamari.
Yes.
Tenemos el honor de tener en nuestro programa a la doctora Hortensia Jiménez, profesora de sociología en el Colegio Comunitario de Hartnell.
We have the pleasure to speak with Dr.
Hortensia
Jiménez, sociology professor at Hartnell Community College. Welcome, Dr. Jiménez.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this important conversation. Muchas gracias por invitarme para formar parte de esta conversación tan importante en nuestra comunidad.
Empezamos nuestra plática con una descripción de lo que es la sociología. Let's begin by refreshing us. What is sociology?
Sociology is the most amazing field career that is so rewarding, and I'm being biased because I love sociology. Sociology, like the elevator talk, is the study of people and society. That's what I tell students. It's the study of individuals and how individuals have been shaped by society, but also how we as individuals get to shape society as well, right? So, sociología es el estudio de la sociedad y de los individuos. Es muy sencillo, pero muy complejo. Es el estudio externo, o sea, como los sociólogos se enfocan en las cosas externas que están pasando en la sociedad. Por ejemplo, con lo que pasó en Salinas, las cosas sociales, políticas, económicas, y cómo impactan al individuo y cómo los individuos también forman parte, ¿no?, de esos procesos.
What is racism?
So racism, right? Racism is a very uncomfortable concept and word to talk about, right? And I really want to begin by acknowledging that, that in the K-12 system are, you know, I believe as an educator in the community college system that when students arrive, they are not equipped to talk about race, to even saying, let's talk about race. And you can feel the tension in the class, right? Because students are uncomfortable. Students are nervous. Even though they have lived experiences with this, they haven't been taught to frankly be open and talk about this. So just want to acknowledge that these conversations are so important. And talking about race and racism and, you know, inequality, it is part of our fabric of our society, right? And we need to acknowledge that, and we need to have these conversations, you know, in the K-12, so when they get to college, they're like, you know, ready to like really delve into these issues. So having said that, we want to think about racism as, it's, you know, very simple, right? There's a lot of definitions, but think as a racism, this belief that there are inherently superior and inferior people, right? Races. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's a belief. It's a very dominant and powerful ideology that says that because of your skin color, because of your phenotype and how you look like, therefore you're going to be treated differently, right? And so, and then it adds value to those differences that there are some superior and inferior races, right? So that's racism. Do I need to say it in Spanish?
You could if you want, but like.
So el racismo es es una ideología que ya porque es una ideología, una idea, no quiere decir que no es importante. A lo contrario, es una idea muy poderosa porque lo que dice es de que hay razas, que hay grupos, grupos étnicos, que hay unos que son más superiores o mejores que otros, por el simple hecho del color de su piel, el simple hecho de cómo se miran. Y claro, sabemos que pues eso no está bien, ¿no? De juzgar a otras personas y etiquetarlas como mejores o peores por el simple hecho de cómo son.
¿La discriminación se considera parte del racismo? ¿Es discrimination considered as racism?
Sí, mira, es como una cosa son los pensamientos, porque muchas personas dicen, no, pues yo no soy racista, o yo no discrimino a las otras personas, pero la discriminación es la práctica, es el acto. O sea, tienes la ideología, los pensamientos racistas, y hay mucha gente que se queda en eso. You know, there's a lot of people who have racist ideas, right? But when you act upon them, when you begin to treat people differently because of those ideologies or those ideas, then you're beginning to discriminate them, right? So mm-hmm. es el acto, ¿no? De decir que esa persona se merece no, un que lo traten diferente, ¿no? Por el simple hecho de cómo son. So sí están conectados.
¿Nos puede decir algunas clases de racismo individual o institucional? What kind of racism is there? Just individually or institutionally? Name calling, bullying, etc.
Yeah. So, you know, in sociology, because we're studying the individual and society, right? I mean, it sounds like very simple, right? The individual and society, but it's very complex, right? And, you know, very dynamic. So estamos estudiando el individuo y la sociedad, ¿no? Entonces, cuando estamos hablando de cómo se manifiesta el racismo, you know, how is racism manifested in these institutions? So let's talk about that first, right? So, you know, how society is formed is by different institutions, right? So the education system is a social institution, the government, the media, the family is an institution, the military, right? All these are institutions. And so hay instituciones en la sociedad, ¿no? Que forman parte de la sociedad, la familia, los medios de comunicación, el gobierno, la economía. Y en estas instituciones hay individuos, ¿verdad? Porque una institución en sí es una estructura, o sea, a building can't be racist, right? Uh-huh. It is the idea, it is the people who inhabit these spaces, right? And who create, you know, policies and practices. So when we're thinking about individual and institutional racism, we think about the individual first, right? That there are individuals who have racist ideas, but we were not separated, right? When we are in these spaces of higher education or we're in the media, we're taking, right, our prejudice, we're taking our ideas that we have or how we've been socialized into these institutions. And these beliefs are going to inform practices and policies and then how people are treated, right? So then we talk about institutional racism, right? And then you have actual policies that then directly discriminate other people, right? So mm-hmm. now that's institutionalized.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. Can you give us some examples of individual racism and institutional racism, like what the difference is?
Yes. And you know, I am an immigrant. I grew up in Watsonville, California. And one of the areas as a sociologist that I've studied throughout my career is immigration. And immigration is such a clear example, like immigrant laws, anti-immigrant laws that have been in place since, you know, the 1800s that have discriminated people because of their national origin or where they come from. Like the first immigration law, the citizenship law, 1790, I believe, if I'm not mistaken with the date, you know, only provided citizenship to free whites. So even like other white indentured servants couldn't become like citizens, and other like racial groups were excluded from citizenship. Chinese, the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 excluded Chinese based on the origins of their race, right? So it was one of the most like overly racist pieces of legislation, right? And that's like 1800s. Then we get into the 1900s, where you see a lot of series of anti-immigrant laws. And, you know, we can spend like a whole day talking about like all the anti-immigrant laws. But those are some examples when we talk about institutional.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I think we can ask one more question. Yeah.
¿Cómo implementa estas pláticas de racismo con los estudiantes?
Sí, con los estudiantes, gracias. Pues mira, soy profesora en el colegio y créeme que estoy en mi, I'm in my dream job. Yeah, like the background you see here, Hartnell College, is my dream. I'm in my dream job. I'm in the community. And I know that this is where I am able to have a big impact. This is my calling. And so because of, I feel so honored and also privileged and with the big responsibility, you know, as a sociology professor, I've been talking about these issues since I have memory of being a sociologist, since I first took like sociology as an undergrad, so in 2001, you know, like my bachelor's, master's, PhD, like as a student, you know, and as a professor, I have always centered discussions of race in my classes. The books that I use, you know, for example, I have this book right here. It's called Race and Racism, A Critical Approach. And then I have my book, Challenging Inequalities. This is a really cool book that I encourage you guys to kind of read too. So Yama, Getting Real About Race. And what I'm showing you right now, these are just some examples of some of the books that I use in my class. But you know, I also use like novels and autobiographies. And Born Bright is another awesome autobiography. And this is about Dr. Mason, she basically is debunking the idea that, you know, it takes more than being smart to basically succeed in America as a Black girl, you know, as people of color, right? So I have these conversations in my class, and I make it very intentional at the beginning of my semester, like say, look, this is where I'm coming from as a sociologist. And you know, and I tell you, I know that this might be uncomfortable for you. It is for me too. You know, these are not easy topics. And you know, some students are willing to be open and allow themselves to think differently, because it's really questioning what you guys been brought up with the ideas. And I'm here to basically challenge your ideas, right? Academically, right? And for you to reflect. So not only are you being challenged academically, like intellectually with these concepts and all this stuff that's happening, but then you're also being challenged personally, because I'm inviting you to be really reflective about your life and how have you been shaped by society? Because we're not just Black individuals here, right? We've been shaped by so many, you know, forces.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's basically, you know, what I do in my courses.
Okay, and I think we've run out of time for now.
Yeah.
It's our first musical break. En el programa de hoy estamos hablando de racismo.
Diálogo
que debe tener siempre y cuando vemos
injusticias.
Que nos causan daño y que estos diálogos sirvan para encontrar formas de tomar medidas positivas cuando experimentamos actos de racismo. ¿Tienes algo que quieres comentar? Llámanos a nuestra línea 831-758-5432. El teléfono es 831-758-5432. Gracias por estar escuchando.
On today's program of Alta Tu Voz Speak Out, we are speaking about racism. You are invited to join our dialogue as we implement forms to take positive measures when we come across acts of racism, like many students did during the Salinas High football game. On a statement letter about the incident, the Salinas High School District did encourage parents to talk about their children about the damaging effects of their racist behavior.
Radio Bilingüe, alegrando tu día con lo mejor de la música. Rancheras, cumbias, norteñas, rock en tu idioma y lo más selecto del sabor tropical.
Years ago in Watsonville, California,
Jacob Martinez noticed the scarce access to technology, and so Digital Nest was founded.
Yesenia Molina, gerente de Digital Nest, nos explica cómo esta organización prepara a los jóvenes para carreras en la tecnología.
We have three areas. So the first career focus area, which is called DAT, Digital Arts and Technology, that contains video, production, editing, and there's also graphic design. And then there's another one, the programming side, called WIT, Web and Information Technology. And our third one, People, Projects, and Leadership, all about event coordination. You know, to organize, you don't need anything super fancy. You got to have the will and the heart. I think a lot of things come after that.
Este verano, Digital Nest abrirá un centro en Salinas, California.
Y en otras ciudades muy pronto.
Becoming a member is free, so visit digitalnest.org if you would like to participate.
Visita digitalnest.org.
Message produced with the support from the David and Lucille Packard Foundation.
Aquí estoy establecido en los Estados Unidos. 10 años pasaron ya en que crucé de mojado y papeles no he arreglado. Sigo siendo un ilegal. Tengo mi esposa y mis hijos que me los traje muy chicos. Y se han olvidado ya de mi México querido, del que yo nunca me olvido y no puedo regresar. ¿De qué me sirve el dinero si estoy como prisionero dentro de esta gran nación? Cuando me acuerdo hasta lloro, que aunque la jaula sea de oro, no deja de ser prisión.
Escúchame, hijo, ¿te gustaría que regresáramos a vivir a México?
What you talking about, Dad? I don't want to go back to Mexico. No way, Dad.
Mis hijos no hablan conmigo, otro idioma han aprendido y olvidado el español. Piensan como americanos, niegan que son mexicanos, aunque tengan mi color. De mi trabajo a mi casa, yo no sé lo que me pasa, que aunque soy hombre de hogar, casi no salgo a la calle, pues tengo miedo que me hallen y me puedan deportar. ¿De qué me sirve el dinero si estoy como prisionero dentro de esta gran nación? Cuando me acuerdo hasta lloro, que aunque la jaula sea de oro, no deja de ser prisión.
Agradecemos que estás escuchando nuestro programa de Alza tu Voz, Speak Out. Aunque la plática sobre el racismo puede ser algo difícil, es necesario iniciar y tener estas pláticas con nuestras familias, amistades y escuelas. En este segmento vamos a hablar sobre los cambios que podemos hacer individual para mantener nuestros prejuicios bajo control y tomar conciencia.
We are glad that you can join us. We are glad that you can join us this afternoon. We are talking and sharing ways to take control and create conscience about racism. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call our number 758-5432. We would like to hear from you as how you deal with racism. Our studio number is 758-5432. Today is Dr. Hortensia Jimenez, sociology professor at Hartnell College.
Bueno, empezamos con ¿qué cambios podemos hacer individualmente para tener nuestros prejuicios bajo control y tomar conciencia? How can we begin to make changes to take control and create self-conscious about racism?
You know, that's a great question, and I would love to have a conversation with you all because I heard a lot of the high school students at the district, at the board meeting, and it was very powerful. Those 2 hours were really a platform for students to speak up, and I want to acknowledge the district for doing that for students. And so I would like to hear from you. Like, what do you think? What do you think we can do?
I think what they did at the board meeting was really well, or was like a really good thing, like to
speak out.
Yeah, to let the students that have felt racism and like how they feel about this current situation. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I was just like really happy to see, or it was like so sad to see how many people were coming forward. But I was also like proud of the board that they did that. Like, they're giving people a voice because obviously they felt as if they didn't tell anyone because they felt pushed away or they felt embarrassed or like their voice wasn't heard, and they actually got a chance this meeting to like actually like sit down and have a good discussion of like how they're dealing with it and what's happened to them, like personal experiences.
Yeah, like how Miranda said, like it's nice that they spoke out and they like had the courage to go up there and use their voice to like speak out and say, well, this is what I think about it because this is how it's making me feel unsafe and everything. And I mean, I don't like the fact that they just took some cheerleaders or whatever, the students, they just said, oh, let's just take them off the cheer squad. Like, that does nothing. That does that. Will that teach them to actually learn that racism, like saying those racist things is remarks, not good? Like, that doesn't make you still like feel better, like protected or more safe, because I mean, they can still tell you stuff, they can still do stuff to you. And even though they spoke out, I think that was like really powerful, because you know, they all went up there and they all shared what they had to, what they thought about it, like whether they were like sharing how they felt unsafe being at their own school, or what they could do to, you know, help this situation. I genuinely think like it was very powerful, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, and personally, I think maybe they should actually do, the school should do more teaching to their students, because, I mean, clearly their students are not learning anything. I don't think they learn from being kicked off of a cheer team for 2 weeks and then being put back on the cheer team. You know, it's not really working out.
It's more like a slap on the wrist than anything.
It's more like,
you're letting them get away with these things.
It's like making them believe like, oh, if you do this, well, you're not gonna get in trouble. You're just gonna like,
it's,
you know,
not a real consequence.
It's basically just like a little like, oh, you're getting a little break, but you're gonna be back there. How do you feel about it, Guillermo?
I wasn't there.
No, but like, how do you feel? Have you like heard what people have said?
Are you upset? Like,
what do you think? What do you think should have happened to?
I barely found out about this like 3 days ago. I'm not even cap.
Okay.
I
think we're good.
So, you know, what I'm hearing is like, you also acknowledge like how important it is for students to speak up, right? And like, y'all have a voice, like you don't need permission, like, you know, from like we as educators to exert your voice. Like, you demand your voice like in these spaces always, but it takes so much courage. And there's so much pain in the community too, you know, because of like why this happened. You know, obviously there's a lot of factors that we can talk about, but I wanted to ask ask you, since you're high school students, what did you learn about, you know, these conversations that we're having right now in school? Did you have conversations about race? Because, you know, we learned about the iconic figures, Martin Luther mm-hmm. King, you know, Rosa Parks, Cesar Chavez, Dolores Huerta, like, just like the ones that are in the books, right? And that's how mm-hmm. we learn about race and like, oh, that, you know, but like, have things changed, you know, now that you guys are in high school?
Personally, like, I don't think my school's talked about it. Like, obviously, like, I go to Salinas High, and they talked about the current racism, but, like, because I'm a sophomore, so, like, I don't think we ever talked really about, like, those historical figures or anything. Like, that was more middle school. I was kind of, like, surprised, because you'd think it's a more diverse, like, community, and I don't know, I just assumed that they'd have more.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
For me, since I go to Alvarez, and I have, like, my Puente teacher, he really, as soon as we walked through that door, he was like, we got to talk about the situation because it's important to educate yourself about it. And it's important to be aware that this is what happened and this is what they're doing. And it's not really that big.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a nice moment because in middle school, we really wouldn't talk about these things. We would just like have the time, the teachers would ignore it or the students would ignore it. And if you talked about it, it's like, why would you? Like, just don't talk about it. But now that I'm in high school, like, after I was in ethnic studies like last year, I got to learn a lot more about racism and like different cultures, and then it's just like nice because they're educating us a bit more about it and they're really including it because they really think it's like it's really important, and it's I'm glad they do, because if they don't talk to us about it, like, will we ever, like, would we have ever learned about it or anything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes I feel like I still have, like, a child's eyes, because, like, before this, like, it would never come up in conversation. I think I was a little bit naive, like, oh, this is Salinas. Everybody's happy. Everybody doesn't judge anyone, mm-hmm. you know? But then I got to, like, maybe elementary school, and then middle school, I started looking more, yeah. And then once this happened, it really hit me, and, you know, I feel like they need to make ethnic studies more of a like a longer course, because it's more like it's only one semester, and that's kind of really sad, because it's like one of my favorite classes. It's so interesting to learn about. It's an eye-opener for sure.
Those are really good points, right? Because I think one of you said that how the students that were involved in this incident were sanctioned, how they were basically like, you know, penalized. Mm-hmm. But then you said, well, there's more to that. There has to be some like education, right? What's going to happen? And I think that's what you guys are bringing up. It's an important point, is that there's ethnic studies, you know, ethnic studies hopefully will be throughout the K-12 system. You know, we're going to try to offer sociology in the high schools as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do you actually integrate it, right? Not only in one class, but through the whole curriculum, right? In school.
Yeah. And then another question. What are the unconscious biases?
So we all have unconscious biases, right? Because mm-hmm. we have been socialized since the moment of our birth up until we die. And unconscious biases can be based on race, can be based on gender, sexuality, you know, heterosexism, based on age. And so I know we're going to go into break, so I'm not sure how much I should go into this right now.
You can go.
I'm just finishing up your thoughts. Yeah.
Yes. You know, that's the hard part, right? Part of the unconscious biases requires, like, I'm inviting the four of you to, like, reflect, think about what did you grow up hearing? And share that with me here in this space. It's important. By you sharing that, then you're acknowledging, like, that doesn't make me a bad person. It's just that this is stuff that I grew up listening to, that I consumed mm-hmm. perhaps passively in the media, like the messages, or maybe in my family. And then somehow, like, you end up like internalizing them, right? And that's where the work begins.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I grew up hearing a lot of comments from my family, like, ese es un cholo, like, that's mm-hmm. a gangster because of yeah. how they dress, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was totally like, not true, you know? Like, but that was my family's ideas, mm-hmm. right? So they had their biases based on how people dress and how they looked and how they behave. And also for like Black people, they had their mm-hmm. own assumptions and biases. Yeah. So I grew up with them. I grew up listening to those. And that has an impact on how you see people. And it wasn't until I was going through the school system, and it wasn't until really college that I'm like, wow, this is bad. I need to work on these, you know, because if I want to have a good impact in society and I want to help others, and, you know, I need to work on myself first, right? And that takes a lot of vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to be vulnerable and allowing yourself to be like, I have some of these messed up ideas, right? I need mm-hmm. to work on them, and that's okay, right? Yeah. But you want to do it in a safe space with people who are going to support you and guide you también, not people who are going to judge you, because then you're going to shut down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nuestra invitada de hoy es la doctora Hortensia Jiménez, profesora de sociología en el Colegio Comunitario de Hartnell, y estamos hablando de racismo, defender de la igualdad de es necesario para el mejor en este mundo que vivimos. Tú también puedes ser parte de esta conversación. Llámanos al 831-758-5432 y mándanos un mensaje a nuestra cuenta de Instagram, Alza Tu Voz, Speak Out, todo junto. Gracias por estar escuchando el programa de jóvenes en el radio Alza Tu Voz, Speak Out, aquí en Radio Bilingüe KHDC.
This is Radio Bilingüe KHDC, and you're listening to Alta Tu Voz Speak Out Youth Radio Program. We are talking about racism and defending equality to make this a better place to live in. Join the conversation by calling our studio or sending us a message on our Instagram account at Alta Tu Voz Speak Out .. We will be right back. Thank you.
This is KHDC, Chular Salinas, 90.9 FM. And K281BR Hollister, Radio Bilingüe, National Latino Public Radio.
Yeah.
El más pasado en la escuela Salinas High, durante un evento de fútbol americano, se realizaron actos de racismo. Incidente que influenció a muchos estudiantes y padres que llegaron a protestar a las oficinas del distrito escolar. A resultado de esta manifestación, se mostró la necesidad de tener más recursos para asegurar que escuelas ofrezcan un lugar seguro y exclusivo para los estudiantes. El distrito anunció de la contratación de un coordinator de diversidad y cualidad y inclusión.
Thank you for listening to Alza Tu Voz Speak Out here on Radio Bilingüe KHDC 90.9 FM and 104.1 FM. In regards to unacceptable behavior of some students at Salinas High, Superintendent Dan Burns releases a statement that included, although the students involved have stated that anti-black racism was not their intent, the impact of their actions has further highlighted the need for district resources to be aligned to provide more learning opportunities to ensure that all students feel that school is a safe and inclusive place for their learning, including hiring diversity, equity, and inclusion coordinator to further the work on creating an unbiased and inclusive district, free of discrimination, harassment, and negative stereotypes toward any person or group.
What do you think the changes between the coordination at our schools?
Being coordinated.
Yes. No.
¿Qué piensa usted de esos cambios que se están coordinando en nuestras escuelas?
Pues creo que es un excelente comienzo reconocer que el racismo existe, que la discriminación en la comunidad, o sea que pues tuvimos que mirarlo en grabación para que el distrito, para que la comunidad pues se dieran cuenta, ¿no? De esto que está pasando, porque me imagino que ha habido muchos incidentes y pues a veces no son documentados en las redes sociales, right? So the fact that it was documented in social media, that it was recorded, you just can't like put this under the rug or hide it like there isn't an issue, right? So I think that the efforts that are being done are a great step. And as some of you have expressed, you know, and other students in the district when they had the opportunity to talk, is you need to have these conversations in the classroom, right? These conversations mm-hmm. can't happen just like one time only, like, right? They need to be part of the curriculum. And so I think that would be a great thing for the district to continue doing with expanding ethnic studies, expanding sociology. You know, I'm going to be working in those efforts actually with the dual enrollment director at Hartnell College so that we can try to begin to offer sociology in the Salinas High School District. And, you know, this whole process takes quite some time. So if everything goes well, maybe we can do this in the fall, right? So, and then, you know, of course, you know, the professional development for faculty, for, you know, the instructors in the schools, like there needs to be a lot of workshops and professional development on that end. But also, what can you do at home, right? Having these conversations, because not every child, teenager, has parents who are open about race, who are open about talking about race and racism, right? And so if we want to break these cycles, we need to be brave, we need to be courageous. And sometimes that means that you have to be that person, right? And you also want to take care of yourself because you don't want to be the only person all the time, especially when you're a person of color, when you're the, you know, the Latino, the Latinx. Sometimes you're not going to because you want to take care of your mental well-being, right? So that's also very important to acknowledge that we also have the power to decide when we want to engage in those conversations for our well-being.
Why do you think it's important to have empathy with the victims and causing the problem? ¿Por qué es importante de tener empatía por las víctimas y los agresores?
Es muy importante, la sociedad nos inculca a veces de que pues nos enojamos, ¿verdad? We get upset, we're angry, and we want like punishment, you know, we want sanctions. And I think it's also important to look at the humanity of that individual too, right? And find ways where, you know, the people who did the harm can learn from what they did and see how they have impacted not only those individuals, but the community and society. Like, it has like an effect. So that's not easy, right? Can you, I mean, I would love to hear from you. Like, is it easy to have empathy for people that hurt other people, either physically, emotionally, you know, mentally?
Okay. I feel like sometimes it's really hard to have empathy towards people who hurt others, because all you see is maybe the action they did. And like, it's easy for someone to say, oh, well, even if they went through this or this is how they were raised, they still had the choice to not say that or to do this action. But sometimes I feel like a lot of the time, especially with the youth of today, they don't realize what they're doing is wrong. It's just like the way they were raised, like how they joke in their family. So I'd say it's kind of hard. It's like really hard to have empathy towards others who hurt other people. I mean, but yeah, we can learn as a community.
I totally agree with Brianna. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with Brianna, because, like, you know, sometimes you let the anger, like, you're like, why would you do that? And you kind of let it, like, identify the person. You're like, oh, they did this. They're just a bad person overall. And it's, like, really hard sometimes, because some people, like, I don't know whether to say it really depends on, the like, what they did. But it's definitely hard, because it's not easy to just be like, oh, I forgive you for doing this. Even though it was, like, it hurt a lot of people and you didn't make them feel safe, I forgive you. Like, it's a hard thing to do, because it's like, if I forgive you and you didn't learn from it, then it's just confusing.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Guillermo?
What
do you think it's easy to have empathy for, like, the aggressors?
Like, the people that cause problems. So, say, in this situation, the people that were making racist comments during the football game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what they deserve?
Is it easy to, like, forgive them for what they did and, like, what they said?
No. I would say no, right? Because it's racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, I think that's
it. Okay, a veces escuchamos comentarios o vemos acciones que nos hacen sentir incómodos, pero puede ser difícil identificar si es racismo o no. El ejemplo que obviamente llega a mente son los actos racistas que supuestamente ningún estudiante puede identificar. How can we get better at identifying racism and other discriminatory acts? Entonces, ¿cómo podemos mejorar nuestra habilidad de identificar estas situaciones?
Sí, mira, ese es aquí la cuestión es eso, ¿no? Que estas conversaciones las tenemos que tener en nuestro hogar, con nuestros papás, con nuestros familiares, con la comunidad, para que tengamos las herramientas, y las herramientas esas es las palabras, el lenguaje, right? So, like, it really begins at home, having these conversations and having these conversations in school. Like, you want to have the tools, and the tools is like having the knowledge and the language, because we all have the language to talk about our experiences, okay? Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's like the terminology. And let me give you an example, okay? So I'm sure that all of you have experienced microaggressions, right? And so I'll tell you what microaggressions are, because those are more subtle. They're subtle and they're like daily, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are manifestations of also racism. So in microaggressions, and I think in Spanish, microaggressions son microagresiones.
Mm-hmm.
So son agresiones verbales. So, son insultos, pueden ser insultos o pueden ser complementos. So, microaggressions, especially racial microaggressions, they're daily insults, and could be racial slurs, or it can be something positive that people say, but it has a psychological impact on your well-being, and it's specifically for targeting people of color. So, let me give you an example. If they say, And if they say like, oh, you speak so well, and you're like, well, what are they? That's a compliment, right? It sounds like a compliment, right? But when you haven't, if you're a brown person, or if you're Latinx, Latina, and they know you're that you have an accent, and they tell you you speak so well for X, Y, and Z, it's a compliment, but it's a microaggression.
It's backhanded,
right?
Yeah.
Or if they say, oh, I didn't know, like, where are you really from? So there is, like, and this happens a lot to people who look foreign, and to look foreign meaning that you don't look white. So then when they say, where are you from? So there's this assumption that you're from somewhere else, that you're not from here, that you're not born here, right? So that's also a microaggression. O si te dicen que, no sé, de cómo te vistes, like all these sort of compliments, they're part of microaggression. So actually it's really important to recognize them and to call them out sometimes and say, you know what, you know, that's what it is. This is a microaggression, or, you know, whatever, you know, that was inappropriate, or I don't think that was okay. And this is how it made me feel. This is what I think about it, right? So it's being able to also do that. But again, like I said earlier, sometimes you don't want to do it. Sometimes you do not want to engage. And do not confuse silence as powerless. Your silence sometimes is powerful, right? Because sometimes you're the one who's deciding, am I going to engage in that, you know? And it's your power. So we also need to change that narrative around silence.
Es momento de ir a nuestra última pausa del programa. Comparte con nosotros lo que tú haces para luchar contra los actos de racismo y qué buenos gestos haces para crear un ambiente inclusivo. El número en el estudio es 758-5432. Nuevamente, el número es 758-5432. En nuestra cuenta de Instagram, Alza Tu Voz Speak Out.
We are going to take our last break. We appreciate that you are listening to Radio Bilingüe KHDC. We want to hear from you and what you do to create an environment that is inclusive to all races and what you do to speak out against racism. The studio number is 758-5432.
Búscanos en Facebook y danos un like. Me gusta.
Perhaps it's a snarky remark, passing giggles, or bashful glances.
All of which makes us feel as if our value is based on the annoying flaw everyone points out.
It must be true then, right?
Daniela Anaya, especialista en la prevención del acoso de armonía en casa, nos cuenta sobre los factores que contribuyen al bullying.
Lo primero que todo, cómo reconocer el bullying. Hay tres tips muy importantes de saber. Tenemos que saber si es repetido, es a propósito y si hay un desequilibrio de poder. Si tenemos esos tres, entonces quiere decir que tenemos una situación de bullying.
If you recognize these signs, reach out to a loved and trusted adult.
Talk to them about the situation and remember.
Las palabras de los demás no definen quién eres. Solo tú decides eso.
Message produced with the support from the David and Lucille Packard Foundation.
Yeah.
se mente. Anda, quédate en mi mente. Hagamos que este amor reviente. Tú serás la que me inspire, me consienta y me domine. No dejemos que termine, pues yo haré que te fascine. Viviré para ti.
Radio program Alta Tu Voz Speak Out, a program for youth by youth. In this last segment, will you talk about microaggressions? What are they and how do they affect us?
Gracias por seguir escuchando Alta Tu Voz Speak Out, un programa conducido por jóvenes para jóvenes. Hoy platicamos con la doctora Hortensia Jiménez, profesora de sociología en el Colegio Comunitario de Hartnell. En este último segmento hablaremos de los actos o compartiremos de microagresiones que en ocasiones hacemos sin pensarlos.
What are behavioral microaggressions in the United States?
just in general.
So we were talking right before the break about the micro, right, that we can experience different forms of microaggressions. And since our conversation today is focused on race, so racial microaggressions. And so having said that, you know, microaggressions may sound like compliments. Mm-hmm. They're indeed, sometimes they're questioning either our parts of our identity, parts of our intelligence, right? So again, you know, racial microaggressions, these are common, they're daily racial slurs or insults, and they can manifest themselves differently. It can be nonverbal. Okay, so like, you know how we have unconscious biases and then there's prejudice. And then the common one is if it's like late in the evening and you're walking on the street and you see a male of color, if he's black or he's Latino, that you're going to like either like put the lock on your car or that you're going to like hold on your purse or you're going to cross the street, right? You're already, those are microaggressions. You didn't engage with that person, but what you did, your actions, right? Mm-hmm. You're already telling them that you perceive that person as a threat because of all this like stuff that you have basically
like the intentions
consumed from society, right? So that's where a lot of the undoing needs to happen. So I wanted to actually hear from the four of you. Have you experienced any like racial microaggressions or just in general? It could be gender too, especially as women, as Latina women, we experience a lot of gender microaggressions that are limiting basically that what our family tells us that what we can, cannot do and their perceptions and stereotypes about that.
Yeah, I know that like gender is like a big one. Like a lot of like Latino families, like Mexican families, believe that like women are like to serve the men, you know, and they're like supposed to cook and clean for them. But it's like, and then, oh, microaggressions. Yeah. Like, where are you from? Or like, oh, like, where are you really from? Like when you're like, oh, California, they're like, no, like really from, like, well, I just told you, but yeah, those are just like some of them. There's
like
more
gangbanger stuff.
Like, how Miranda said, like, when they ask you where you're from, like, I've definitely been told I'm not Hispanic because they think I'm white, and I'm like, well, that's, why would you, like, okay, I get it that I'm not as, like, I don't dark. Do cultural things like that uh-huh. usually, all like, most Hispanics, quote-unquote, they do, and, like, I'm not as, you know, the same color as my mom or something, like, mm-hmm. I'm paler, like, but it's, they just look at you and they're like, oh, so, like, you sure you're Hispanic? Like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. Are you certain that, you know,
are you half?
Yeah.
You
know? You're not just like half white. Like, it's mm-hmm. just because of your skin color. Cause like, you don't look Hispanic. You don't act Hispanic. It's like, well, how does a Hispanic act? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah. Adding on to, sorry. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, you know, just want to interject. That's such a great point that you mentioned, because they're invalidating your identity. They're invalidating who you are as a person. And like, who you're not going to give that power to anyone else to invalidate your existence of who you are. Right. And those are microaggressions. And you touched on another important topic that we didn't cover. Right. It's colorism. Mm-hmm. And colorism within the Latinx community is huge. Dark skin versus light skin. And that's rooted in racism. That's rooted in this history of oppression, of colonialism. Right. So hopefully we can have that conversation maybe in the future, because you mm-hmm. know what? It impacts you. It impacts me. It impacts our community. If you're darker skin Latino, you know, or Latina, like you are a disadvantage in the society, right? There's a lot of research that says like lighter skin people get paid more, even people of color. Mm-hmm. Like your health outcomes are better when you're lighter skin. And it doesn't mean that it's genetically. It is basically how you're treated and perceived in society. Isn't that crazy? Like, yeah. Can you like mm-hmm. just call that's colorism, right? So mm-hmm. colorism and skin color stratification. And what that means is that basically our society has stratified us, meaning that it has created this hierarchy of color and said, the lighter you are, the better. Mm-hmm. Haven't you heard growing up in your families? Oh, qué bonita. Mira, tiene ojos verdes o tiene ojos mm-hmm. azules, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, tu pelo güero, el güerito, la güerita. Qué bonito. Y oh, la morena. Like, you know, right? That's colorism mm-hmm. right there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. that's harmful.
Adding on to what Isa was saying about how, like, people tell you, like, oh, you don't act Hispanic enough or, like, Mexican enough. I totally agree with that. Or, like, when people, like, non-Latinos will tell me, like, oh, you're not Hispanic enough. Or, like, oh, you don't, like, do certain things. Like, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
You don't do certain things, so it doesn't mean you're not Hispanic. Like, you're whitewashed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, okay.
I feel like adding on to Miranda, sometimes it leaves you wondering, like, are they right? What if I'm not being culturally, like, Hispanic enough? What if mm-hmm. I am, really am whitewashed? And it just leads you to questioning yourself, and I know that because I've been there. I'm like, what, should I, am I really, like, Hispanic or yeah. have I been whitewashed or
yeah.
let me ask like you that. Why do you think they ask, right? Because they're questioning your identity,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I think maybe
validating who you are. But why, when they ask that, what do you, as a sociologist, then you think about, well, what are they thinking about what a mm-hmm. Hispanic or Latino is, yeah. right?
I feel like they're basing it on like
stereotypes,
like loud, looks, dark, appearance, yeah. like, because when you, I feel like when you look at me, you can kind of tell because I have a little darker skin than other people. But then once you talk to me, sometimes I struggle with saying stuff in Spanish, mm-hmm. and that's not just in Spanish. I struggle with saying stuff in English too. Mm-hmm. I stutter a lot. And but also I feel like, because I don't know, but they're like, oh, you don't dress like Mexican, you don't yeah. look Mexican. Well, it's like, what am I supposed uh-huh. to dress like?
Yeah, yeah. And like how Brianna was saying, they also invalidate. They're like, well, you don't talk Spanish to me, so do you yeah. really know Spanish? Like, mm-hmm. do you really know like how to speak it? And they're like forcing it, and they're like, oh, like, talk Spanish to me right now. If you yeah. actually know Spanish, talk to me right now.
I feel like, oh, sorry to cut you off, but like, no, I feel good. Like they sometimes like mock me. They're like, oh mm-hmm. yeah, say something in Spanish. Like, it's such like a weird like thing, the way they say it. It's like, you can, it sounds like a, I don't know if it's a microaggression, but it just sounds very like,
you are, you're doing it beautiful. I love this conversation. You mm-hmm. see, like, you have examples of microaggressions that mm-hmm. you've experienced, and these are it. So like, we're ending, we have to end, right? But I want, just want to tell you that don't let anyone box you and limit you because of how you look. You know, you are your authentic self. You know, people have really limiting ideas of what a person should be and look like and what they can do or not. You have that power. Like, you have that power to decide like who you are, what you want to be. And if that doesn't conform to certain stereotypes, you know, that's someone else's problem, not yours, right?
El tiempo se nos termina. ¿Algún último comentario con el que la gustaría ser? We have a few minutes left in our talk show. What?
Want to share any last words or any comments?
I just said them.
Okay. Gracias a la doctora Hortensia Jiménez, profesora de sociología en el Colegio Comunitario de Hartnell, por acompañarnos.
Let's thank Dr. Jimenez, sociology professor at Hartnell College Community, Hartnell Community College, for being our guest today.
Cuando hicimos este programa, your hosts for this edition of Alza Tu Voz are me, Isa,
Miranda,
Brianna de León,
Guillermo.
On sound, we had Mirna, Adamari, Jose, and Vianney.
We continue with more alternative music until 6 p.m. Gracias por
acompañarnos
en esta edición de Alza Tu Voz Speak Out. Until next Monday, hasta el próximo lunes.
Alza Tu Voz
Speak Out, programa donde los jóvenes tenemos voz, con información y música.
Your youth radio program on the Central Coast.
Alza Tu Voz Speak Out.
Hablamos y opinamos sobre temas que nos importan.
Conversations on interesting issues.
Alza Tu Voz.
Speak Out.
With music and information from a youth perspective on what's happening in our community,
resources, and events.
Nuestro objetivo es compartir información de los recursos
y actividades culturales de nuestra comunidad.
Alza Tu Voz.
Speak Out.
Salinas Youth Radio Program, produced with the support from the David and Lucille Packard Foundation.